I read to you a passage of Scripture at the very beginning of the service from the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I want to go back and repeat that. It's a passage that Jesus used in the synagogue at Nazareth when he began his public ministry. But he only quoted part of it, at least in the book of Luke, only part of it is quoted. He may have used the whole 61st chapter of Isaiah, I don't know. But part of it is quoted. But it's the part that he did not quote, at least the part that's not recorded in Luke, that I want to bring to your attention. And it begins with Isaiah 61:3. Jesus, and the Lord has already spoken through Isaiah, which was going to be Jesus saying, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." But then in verse 3, part of that promise that is to come to those who are the followers of Jesus Christ is to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. Now, I brought my King James Version this morning because I like the poetic concept of how it's translated there. He says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, in order to understand the concept of the garment of praise and the spirit of heaviness, I'm going to give you a little lesson this morning in aerodynamics. 2 weeks ago, tragic airplane accident in Washington, D.C., National Airport. I want to read to you a newspaper article from the Washington Post, at least a part of it. They say de-icing is a term suddenly in the public mind after an Air Florida 737 jetliner crashed into the span of the 14th Street Bridge over the Potomac River. The accident occurred just seconds after takeoff from National Airport. Although de-iced before leaving the terminal, the aircraft may have been held on the runway for as much as 20 to 40 minutes before takeoff. This led to speculation that ice buildup may have kept the jetliner from gaining altitude. Ice or snow can be extremely dangerous for an aircraft attempting to get airborne. First, ice or snow adds weight. The recent decision by Eastern Airlines to stop covering its airplanes with paint resulted in a large savings in fuel because of the weight reduction. A covering of ice would weigh much more. Second and most important, ice, even a light layer, can hamper air currents from flowing smoothly over the wings, distorting the craft's aerodynamics. This distortion can reduce the plane's lift power. Now, the article goes ahead to state that Boeing aircraft said that roughening of the leading edge of the wing slats, and I'll explain that to you in just a minute, the devices that extend forward from the wings to increase lift, similar to the way ice would change the surfaces, would raise the stalling speed of the airplane by 9 miles per hour to 12 miles per hour and would cause some reported maneuvers. To guard against that, Boeing has advised pilots, they sent out an advisory to all pilots, to extend the slats further to gain more lift and to take care not to lift off the runways too abruptly. Now, federal investigators said their examination of the broken off left wing of the Air Florida plane, which was removed from the river on Friday, showed that the pilot had extended his slats to the recommended point. Later, it was reported that those who were aboard the plane who were saved said that they thought the pilot had stayed on the runway an inordinate amount of time. That could have been caused either by the tremendous ice buildup on the plane or because he was following the recommendations of the manufacturer not to lift off too abruptly. So he had stayed on to build up his airspeed before he pulled the plane into the air. Even so, it looks like there was too much ice on the wings and on the fuselage of the airplane, and it dropped into the river in a very tragic situation. Now, all the facts are not in on the Air Florida crash, but it is obvious to those of us who are pilots that the plane had just too much ice to fly, that's all. It's a cardinal rule in aviation. And one of the first things that I learned in my basic instruction when I was learning how to fly was that you don't take off with ice on your wings. You just don't do it. Now, ice can form after you're in the air, and if your plane has the proper de-icing equipment, that's okay, because it'll usually not form on the flying surfaces. It'll only form on the what they call the airfoil, or the front edge of the wings and around the windshield. But you don't take off with ice on your wings. But in the big airlines, the pilot can't see the wings of his plane. He's seated way out in front of the wings, which are extended far behind him. And so the only way he can see the wings is to get up from his seat and go back into the passenger seat and look out the window to see if there is ice on his wings. And it does not seem that he followed that procedure. At least there's no report that they followed that procedure just prior to takeoff, because the plane had been squirted with hot glycol, which is an alcohol derivative, which supposedly would cut the ice. But others have reported seeing the plane that looked like there was a great deal of ice buildup, because it was a very, very icy, stormy day. Now, the problem with ice is that it hampers the air currents from flowing smoothly over the wings, and it distorts the plane's aerodynamics, and it simply won't fly. Now, I want to give you a little lesson this morning in aerodynamics. And even though I'm a pilot, I have not done a lot of flying recently, private flying. And my brother-in-law, Jackie's brother, who has retired from the Army and has moved here, he was a fixed-wing pilot and a helicopter pilot during the Vietnam siege, and is living here. And so I called him last night and checked out all my facts with him, and so we've got the proper aerodynamic facts for those of you who are pilots and engineers. But I want to give you a small lesson, because contrary to logic, it's the top side of the wing that flies. Turn that thing on for me just a minute, will you? Let me show you something. Those of you who are pilots will recognize this little diagram. That's the wing of an airplane. And these are air currents. The wing is flying in this direction. And these are air currents. And as it hits the airfoil, or the front part of this wing, the air is deflected over the top of the wing. And as it flows over the top of the wing, it causes a suction or a vacuum on the top of the wing, lifting the wing. Now, I used to think that the air flowed underneath the wing down here and picked it up and made it fly. But that's not so. It flows across the top of the wing, and that lifts it and picks it up. And so it depends on the attitude of the wing. If you're in a climbing position like that, it has a different effect. If you're in a diving position like that, it has a different effect. So the air flowing across the top of the wing causes it to pick up. Now, if there is ice that forms on the top of this wing, actually what that does is it disrupts the airflow as it goes back across the top of the wing, and there is no suction, there's no vacuum, and the plane simply will not fly. That's all. It becomes a rock that's hurtling through the air rather than a flying machine. Now, there are ways to help this airflow. I'll show you another wing. The article mentioned slats that extend from the front part of the wing. This is and they come in all different sizes and shapes. But essentially what these slats do is, as the air flows over the top of the wing, it diverts more air. The air that would normally go under is also diverted across the top of the wing and gives the plane a better stalling speed. Then there are flaps at the tail of the wing, on the leading edge of the wing. The normal flaps, which extend downward like this, simply slow the plane down. They do not affect the air across the... So if a plane's coming in for landing, or if it's taking off, then they'll extend the flaps and extend them sometimes all the way down like this to give the plane more lift. But there's another set of flaps that the larger planes have that extend up like this, and they're called spoilers, or sometimes called speed brakes. And what those flaps do is they deflect the flow of air so that the vacuum is not as much as it would have been, causing the plane, the wing, to drop instead, like that. Now that's your morning lesson in aerodynamics, for those of you who are vitally interested in that thing. Now, to illustrate what I'm talking about, this is aircraft that I formed this morning called Flying Rock Airlines. And it could also be described as the spirit of heaviness. Now you will notice that I have put the spoilers up, the speed brakes, on the rear of the wings. That's going to cause this airplane to do funny things when I fly it. And so it's going to do that, because the speed brakes were up and the air would not fly across the top of the wing. Art, you may have that one if you would like. This one is called Soaring Eagle Airlines, and it's also the garment of praise. Now, I have not put the flaps up, the speed brakes, the spoilers, on this airplane, and as a result... you may have that one also. Put it on your bathroom mirror that you can look at it. Now, the garment of praise that Isaiah talks about is something that you put on that lifts you up. The airplane is very heavy. It can weigh several tons. It can be filled with all kinds of things, like fat people or bulldozers or army tanks or any kind of thing. But if it has the right kind of wing and the right kind of flying attitude, it will lift all of those things. That is, if everything is situated in the airplane. There's many other things that are involved, the center of gravity and all of that, the kind of power that it has, all of those things are involved. But when Isaiah talks about putting on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, he's talking about us putting something on that lifts us up. It's the wing that causes us to rise. It pulls us up. It lifts us. It does not come from within, nor does it come from the underside. I used to think that if I somehow built up enough praise on the inside, it would be like helium in a balloon, that I would begin to float. I would get bloated and just float around full of praise. Praise does not work that way. Nor is it something that you crank up underneath, like a jack under an automobile that has a flat tire. And if you work on it and work on it, well, eventually it'll come up. It doesn't happen that way. Praise is the anointing of God. It's the mantle of God. And we can put it on by an act of our will. I can reach out. I can take the garment of praise. I can lay it over the top of my wing. It will melt the ice, and it will give me lift. But the lift is from the top. The lift is not from the bottom. The garment of praise is me, by an act of my will, putting on praise, and then God picks me up because I have His garment on. Now, the wing is heavy by nature, but the wind becomes this lifting force. Now, pilots know that headwinds and tailwinds play a big factor in the flying ability of an airplane. Headwinds are necessary to get off the ground. They're a bother when you're flying to a destination. And so a plane will oftentimes take off into the wind and then arrange it so that he can fly with a tailwind the rest of the way. But it's the contrary wind that picks you up. It's the contrary wind that allows you to get off the ground and into motion. Now, there are certain things to watch out for that will cause the spirit of heaviness in your life. Ice or snow, these things will cause the spirit of heaviness, the things that form on the wing that do not belong there. And I probably don't need to list all of those things, much rather for the Holy Spirit to tell you what the ice is that you have on your wings that are keeping you from flying. Just whatever buildup there is that doesn't belong there. But you see, most of us want to take off downwind. We don't like the idea of, especially at the start of any kind of project, any kind of destination that we're going to, we don't like to start the day with a contrary headwind. We want to start going downwind. And we look around at us and people are just really whizzing by in all different directions, and there's a tendency to put your airplane out on the runway and to turn its tail into the wind and just to take off downwind. Now, there's a problem with that. You'll go very, very fast when you've got a tailwind on takeoff. You'll go extremely fast. You'll go much faster than you do if you're going into a headwind. But the problem is you don't ever get off the ground and you run into the fence at the end of the runway and destroy yourself. That's what downwind takeoffs do. And so you have to face your airplane into the wind, because it's the wind blowing towards you, flowing across the top of that wing, that causes the lift that causes you to fly. Then once you're in the air, you can go any direction you want to. But it's extremely necessary to have a lift on the top of that wing to get you off the ground. I can remember my early days when I was first learning to fly, and a friend of mine had an antique Piper Cub, a little two-place plane with fabric wings, big, huge wings, and a very light airplane made out of tubular aluminum and fabric, had two seats in it, and I was the only one in it that particular day, and I'd gone out to the end of the runway to get ready to take off, and it's like flying in a Piper Cub was much like flying in a kite. You were just out there with this big, huge wing. I remember sitting on the end of the runway, running up my engine on a magneto check, when there was a huge gust of wind down the runway toward me, and all of a sudden, without my warning it at all, I was in the air. I was flying. I hadn't started my roll. I hadn't done anything. I was just the big gust of wind, and there was enough wind over the top of the wing to get me up, and I was 15 feet up in the air, sitting there in my little plane, and the only thing I knew to do was to give it full throttle to keep me up there, because if the wind had stopped at that particular time, I would have just come right back down again. And strange things happen when you drop back down to a concrete one way. I've never taken off totally still like that. Just all of a sudden I was flying. Now, see, the problem that we have is we don't like to face the wind. We don't like to face that contrary wind that's blowing to us. But if we'll really stop and look at it, the problem is not with the wind. Our problem is with ourselves. So many of us spend so much time trying to circumvent the circumstances. The wind is blowing contrary and we don't want to face it. And so we do everything we can, not realizing that it's God who has sent that friendly headwind so that we can be airborne, to get us off the ground. That's part of the garment of praise. He has built us as Christians so that when the headwinds blow against us, we fly. if we will face in the right direction. And so circumstances are God's way of getting us airborne. Now, if we're not flying, there's three or four reasons that you don't fly. There's three or four reasons that as Christians, the spirit of heaviness prevails rather than the garment of praise. And I could list them. One, because you're still tied to the taxiway. It's a terrible thing to try to take off when you're still roped down. And you haven't untied your tail or untied your wings, and you're sitting there giving full throttle to the airplane, and all you're doing is trying to pull the concrete out of the taxiway. You'll never get off the ground if you're tied traditionally to a taxiway. You'll never fly if your traditional ties are that tight. Second thing is you're overloaded. You'll never get off the ground if you're overloaded. And there's a lot of us who understand what that means. There's flight in our hearts, but we are so loaded down that for some reason we just can't quite make it. Have you ever come into a service like this and everybody around you is praising and just beginning to enjoy the Lord, but you have come in with the burdens of the world on you and you're like this and you just can't quite do it? You haven't shaken off all the burdens that you have brought with you. And so as a result, while everybody else is flying, you're still kind of puttering around down on the taxiway. You'll not fly. You'll not get in the air if you're underpowered. And I could relate that in a number of different ways, and perhaps I don't need to, but God has provided us a power. And if you say, I want only half of God's power, you'll never take off at half throttle. God has said He has given you a Holy Spirit which will empower you to do all the things that Jesus did. It's all there. But you've got to take Him. You've got to receive Him into your heart. Because if you don't receive Him into your heart, you're going to stay on the ground. And there's a lot of folks who are satisfied with half power. They don't want all of the Spirit of God. They're afraid that if they get all the Spirit of God that they'll vibrate to death or that they'll fly too high or that they'll wind off going out there over the ocean, and they don't want that. They just want half power and kind of drive around. They want to use their airplane like they do a car and steer it here and there. They really don't want to fly. But God has given us the Spirit of power. And that Spirit of power will shake off all of the ice of fear and will allow us to become airborne. And of course, you'll not fly if you've got ice on your wings. If you have begun to collect junk in your life that you've allowed to form there. Now, God is giving us a de-icing process. It's called repentance. That you can get rid of the junk that forms in your life. Now, there's nothing wrong with having ice form on your wings. Anybody who is out there in the cold is going to have ice in their wings. And so you don't need to feel guilty or condemned because it's there. But you're a fool if you try to fly with it on your wings when God has given you a process by which it can come off. And repentance, forgiveness, absolution, these things are all absolutely necessary for the Christian on a daily basis so that he can fly. So I've got a word for you this morning. And the word is stop battling the circumstances. Go bravely into them with the Spirit of God empowering you as you go. Last week, Jackie and I spent a few days in an editorial meeting with some of our publishing friends. Catherine Marshall was there. And Catherine began to tell us a little story out of her childhood that I'd never heard before. And she said that her mother ran a little mountain mission up in North Carolina. Those of you who have read her novel, Christie, know something of that Appalachian ministry that Mrs. Wood, Catherine's mother, was part of. But she ran a little mountain mission up in the mountains of North Carolina back during the Depression days, and they had just run out of money. No money whatsoever. And so Catherine said her mother, Mrs. Wood, who was still very much alive and very active and very bold, said there was a man in the mining community who had money, who ran the coal mining office. And she stalked into that man's office one morning with her Bible and threw it down on the desk of that coal mining executive and said, I'm going to give you the greatest opportunity you've ever had. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to give money to this mountain mission. And if you give money to this mountain mission, God's going to do something very, very special in your life. And if you don't give it, you're going to miss the blessing of God. Now here's this frail little woman up in the coal miner executive's office saying, I'm going to give you the greatest opportunity you've ever had. And said the man responded positively and said, well, how can I turn down the greatest opportunity I've ever had? And so he gave her money, gave her enough to keep them going. And out of that money, there was enough money to send this little girl from the mountains of North Carolina to college in Atlanta, Georgia, for her first year at Agnes Scott College. And at Agnes Scott College, Catherine Wood met a young Presbyterian minister who was ministering on the campus by the name of Peter Marshall, and married him, and they moved to Washington, D.C., where he became chaplain of the Senate. And following his death, Catherine sat down and wrote the story of their life, called A Man Called Peter, and has since become the best-loved Christian author in the world, simply because a mother refused to look at that headwind as something evil and rather called it an opportunity and just busted right into it and gave it full throttle and said, we're going to fly. Now, if it's for God, you can do it with boldness, and you can do it with vigor, and you can do it with flair, and you'll be airborne. We Christians have become so timid, so afraid to turn our nose into the wing, so afraid to push the throttle all the way forward, so afraid we'll make a mistake, so afraid that we'll do this, afraid we'll do that, that we have missed the blessing of God. I think God is calling His people into a new kind of boldness that says, clear the ice off, give it full throttle, let's fly, let's go. Now that's what Isaiah is talking about. He says, when you do that, something special is going to happen inside of you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them the crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's all you have to do. It's yours. God has promised it. De-ice your wings. Fill your fuel tanks. Untie your tethers and give it full throttle. And you'll fly. And you'll not be ever again content with just taxiing around on the runway from one hangar to the next in the safety of the ground, because you will rise above all the ice and snowstorms into the sunlight of God's grace.